This week, the electors go to the polls in East Douglas. There are 7 candidates. This morning, I'm talking to Geraldine O'Neill, who's joined me in the studio, has managed to battle away here through the wind. She's stood before. Good morning to you. Now, your background, you're a teacher, and I understand a branch secretary of the NASUWT union, so you're involved in the union side as well. You say you would be a pragmatic MHK. In what way? If something is impractical, you wouldn't support it? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I do. I mean that we need to look at policies and see that policies have real purpose and that, for example, as regards cuts, short-term cuts are not just to make short-term savings, that they have a value and a need and that they don't cause long-term consequences on the population. We have situations where that has been the case. Also, in my own situation in education, for example, we have shared services where the services are together. And some of these things work out well, but others are not practical. So I think we all know we need to make savings. We all know we need to make cuts, but we need to decide where it is and that it has a practical basis.
So putting this pragmatic hat on of yours, you'd say the promenade, the promenade scheme was important enough to prioritise.
I certainly think it's important enough to prioritise. It is a huge expenditure and I do think we need to be very sure that if we're going to spend that amount of money, that we will have a longevity of reward with that we won't have to come back in 10 years and have to do something like this again. There are concerns for Douglas residents about the inaccessibility of the promenade during this work, and they're very concerned about being disrupted in their lifestyle, and businesses are concerned about that as well. That has to be taken into account. Unfortunately, when we've had regeneration in the capital, it's taken a considerable amount of time with a lot of disruption. Imagining that on the promenade as the main thoroughfare in Douglas is quite daunting. So I do believe that needs to be very carefully planned as to how it's going to be done.
Well, let's raise the H word, horse trams. What are your thoughts on that? Yes,
well,
or no?
Personally, I would like to keep the horse trams because as a Manx person and as a person who's interested in Manx culture, I believe the horse trams, the electric trains, the railways are all part of that. And I think that's a very important tourist attraction that actually isn't really exploited enough. So I would want to keep them. I'm not sure about where they're going to be situated. There again, I've heard many residents have concerns about that, that the proximity to this, you know, the pathways, whatever, that could be quite dangerous. So I still have reservations about that.
Now, you mentioned things like the Castlemaine and the Summerland site. Those are other things that need developed. But let's move on to the staffing structure of government. You want an examination of the staffing structure to get more efficient running, including possible retraining and reskilling of public sector staff. So you feel that some people could be, more use could be made of them.
Yes, I do. And I think this is something that has to be done from the top. Again, as a frontline service worker, as a teacher, we see this all of the time. It has to come from the top. And you have to look at the structure, you have to look at where you can make savings and perhaps use people and their skills in another department or in another way so that we can get better value for our whole society.
And the income tax system as well. You want that looked at as well.
Yes, I do indeed, because again, the feedback I've been getting on the doorstep is that this is something that many people also support, be it from retired entrepreneurs who are now living on the island, who understand business and profitability.
Are you saying it's too high, the tax is too high, or business is not being...
No, I'm saying a review of the tax system for offshore companies, that's what I'm talking about. I don't believe that we need the tax system increased for those of us in the middle income. In the middle income, in fact, we are paying for everybody. We are actually paying for the vulnerable and the wealthy. I think what we need is a total review of where our tax system goes in the future. I'm not talking about suddenly starting to tax major companies. I'm talking about taking a calculated review, looking at all the options. As I've also said, because we have a more diversified economy than Jersey and Guernsey, we are in the situation where we can explore other means of raising tax with these companies.
Well, some of that money might go towards cheaper mortgage rates offered by the government. You suggest that. Cheaper than the bank, than the sector at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, well, that is an option, but my main option there is to introduce the credit union. I feel a credit union here, and I had it in my manifesto in 2011. And actually, following that election, I even had, I spoke to Treasury about it, and we looked at the options. There is now a working group, which I am part of, but due to personal circumstances, over the last couple of years, I wasn't able to take an active part. But the credit union would help enormously in this area, because a credit union is a community bank based on people's savings. You can only borrow according to your savings, and it could help people in first-time buyer situation, those who can't get bank accounts. And particularly, it will help people who are paying rents, high rents, to save money to be able to start with a mortgage.
A couple of items just to finish with. You talk about the challenges faced by creating wealth or in creating wealth. Does that include increasing the population by, as some have suggested, 20,000 in that area?
I have grave misgivings about that, because already our infrastructure is struggling. Already we are struggling to offer our health services to the population we have at the moment, and our education, because we have a severe shortage in teachers. We can't retain them or attract them. So we had another 20,000 people with all the families or whatever. If we're talking about 20,000 economically viable people, then, you know, we have to look at that. I think it needs to be a very long-term strategy, and with infrastructure that would be built along it.
And just finally, you suggest increasing the salaries of the numbers of MHKs, reducing those numbers, and as a compromise, selecting MLC candidates from the existing MHKs. That's quite radical.
Well, what I meant by that is that the MHKs would vote on our nominees as MLCs.
Put them forward.
Yes, and then public vote on that.
So you're in favour of public voting for
MLCs?
Yes,
I am. And obviously, if you're going to have a reduction in MHKs, then automatically you would have to have a reduction in MLCs, because we would not need as many MLCs.
But you think MHKs should be paid more?
I think if we're going to have candidates of calibre, of diversity of perspective, and here I'd like to say I think we need more women candidates, but they need to be candidates who have a proven track record, who would be able to function in government, not for the sake that they are women, but because we need a variety of perspective. And I think to attract the people of that level, then we do need to improve the payment of people to do a very good job.
Geraldine O'Neill, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Geraldine O'Neill standing as a candidate for Douglas East. The other candidates, Kurt Buchholst, Catherine Rose Turner, Jonathan Jockin, John Cayley McBride, Claire Louise Betterson, and John Richard George Falk. We'll hear the last candidate, Catherine Rose Turner, on the programme tomorrow.